first item is the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll lead it. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have no ceremonial matters tonight, so roll call, please.
Yes, Assemblymember Stover.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell will be about 20 minutes late. DeBoard.
Here.
And Mayor Pasanka. Okay,
thank you. Item three, persons to be heard. All right. And anyone in the audience would like to speak? All right. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Does any assembly member have any amendment? Oh, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Thank you, Mary. It's still not clear when we adjust the consent agenda items that I'd like further discussion on.
You can do it now.
I'd like to move the 6A and 6B into the unfinished business section.
All right.
Wait, I have a question about that.
Well, he didn't make an motion, so go ahead.
Okay.
What's that?
This feels like we're gonna we have to do these things, so I don't understand why we have to pull in.
Do you want me to explain?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, what do you mean that we have to do?
Like, we're going to approve these things because we have to do them.
Well, you don't have to. So, essentially, any assembly member or the manager or myself can request that an item be pulled off the consent agenda and put down under unfinished business to be considered individually.
I understand why. I understand that we do it. I just don't understand why we keep doing it, because it feels like we're gonna just belabor to the point when we're not going to say no to fixing the bar graph.
Right.
I don't understand. Anyway.
Well,
it could be just so that can be considered individually or separately from, apart from the consent agenda.
Okay.
Right, so. Yeah. And an assembly member may wish to vote no on that item, but approve all the other items on the consent agenda, so.
Or have questions, because under the right. consent agenda, you can't ask questions. You can't, if you want to discuss it, it gets pulled.
Right. All right. So
it just sometimes feels like we micromanage, but I digress. It's fine.
Okay.
Well, and it's also good to talk because the public is noticed on items. So discussion is always good. All right. So items 6A and 6B go under unfinished business, and that's 12. All right. So do I have a motion for approving the consent agenda for items 6, C, and D?
Move to approve the consent agenda items C and D.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple. Any questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Excuse me, Mayor Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes.
And who did I miss? Is that everybody? Sorry. My sheet wasn't correct.
So. All right.
Okay, I think
I got it. All right. Item seven, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things to report today. Went to the Alaska Municipal League and the Southeast Conference last week. Had some really good meetings. We attended meetings with Representative Ortiz and Senator Stedman's office just to talk about some of the needs for the Wrangell Borough and city as well. We also met with DEC, and we're going to meet again. We have another meeting set up with DEC on Thursday to talk about the 301H waiver and the 401 application. That's definitely getting a lot of attention with the state, because we are one of the first communities that's going through that process on the 301H waiver, us in Sitka. So we've elevated it beyond just the DOC, the DEC local level, and that we're now going to talk with the commissioner as well, so that we can try to bump that higher. And we're also working with the governor's office as well to us that this isn't just a Wrangell problem. This is because it affects so many communities in the Southeast, including Anchorage. This is an Alaska problem.
Do you want to tell the public what those waivers entail?
So the 301H waiver is essentially, based on our treatment process right now, there's quite a few communities who get a waiver based off of what our outfall is for our wastewater plant. So it exceeds certain thresholds that are, I don't want to get too detailed, but secondary treatment, if it's beyond that, then you pretty much have to get a second, like a 301H waiver to be able to have outfall. I forget how many, do you remember how many communities it impacts, Tom?
I want to say it's like 8 to 10 communities, Anchorage being the biggest, but Ketchikan, Sitka, and a number, most communities in Southeast.
Yeah, Pelican.
Whittier is another one.
So if we get denied the 301H waiver, then we have to get to whatever treatment process that they want us to get to. So which us, it could be secondary treatment. Essentially, that's a new wastewater treatment plant for us. So that's kind of where we're at. And so if it gets to that level, that's what we're trying to say. That, and then we've talked to DEC about, you know, they're recommending that we get some low interest loans, and that's my pushback was no, that's not an answer for us, and that's not an answer for all the other communities to get loans given our current needs here in the city. So we're working with them on that to kind of figure out a solution moving forward. Hopefully we can do it as a collective. The nice thing is all the communities are kind of in it together, pushing back. Yeah. So it does have the attention. So that's a good thing. We also have a meeting set up with DNR, Department of Natural Resources, on Thursday as well. For us, it's just kind of get an understanding based on what the Forest Service has said they're not going to do for logging anymore for old growth. The state has said that they're going to increase what they're currently doing and providing. So for me, it's just trying to get an understanding for the community as far as what that means and what their plan is kind of moving forward. So that's the meetings we're going to have. And then I also met with Commissioner Anderson from DOT on a couple of things. We had that meeting today. That was a follow-up again. And thanks to Ray Matuszewski for set up all these meetings, both in Juneau when I was there, and then a follow-up meeting afterwards as well. So the meeting from DOT was about the generator at the airport. So we continue to push that. We've already purchased the generator. We have the designs going forward. My pushback to DOT was that they should pay for the installation and then also the operations of it whenever it is needed. So I think we had some headway today with the commissioner, so he's going to go back and take a look at it and talk to his folks. So it, first two levels was a hard no, and I think we've got to that seems like a good idea part. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So we're still going to work with DOT on kind of moving forward with that. And then we also just had some discussion as well about getting a secondary access to out the road, just in case there is an emergency like we had during the storm event, whenever we had the downed trees. There was only one way in and out going from out the road. So there's a possibility of possibly making another loop around. So we're going to want to have discussions with them to see what some of the possibilities are to at least kind of complete the road as another loop around for secondary access. So those are kind of the conversations we had. Harbor continues to work with the police department on kind of itemizing all the derelict vehicles that we know we have there. So we've seen a lot of progress, and I think just over the past couple of days, just with all of the salvage we have for all of the waste metal, we've had a lot of movement with some of the vehicles over the past couple of days. That's been a good thing because they're taking scrap metal for free. So I've seen a lot of movement. So I think that's been a good thing. And I think, one other thing is we did complete the memorandum of agreement for the OCS worker. So signed that today, and they signed it. So I think, is she already in the office?
She will be.
Okay. So that's been signed, moving forward with it. So we'll have that up and running shortly. And those are the big things. If there's any questions.
Any questions, assembly members? I have kind of a logistical question that some community members have asked me. What do they need to do to try to take advantage of this scrap mail process or scrap metal processing activity that we're conducting?
All right, so it is free. So if you just take it out, or if you can get it out there.
These are cars and any big metal items?
Correct. Yeah, okay. he'll take it for free. Shorty will take it for free. If you don't have a means to get it, I know there's a couple contractors in town that are offering up that service as well.
The biggest thing that Shorty had said is just that they cannot accept vehicles with oil and gasoline still in them. So they are happy to take it, but fluids and stuff need to be drained from the vehicles and bring it out to, you know, the property out there at 6.3 Mile. And the numbers were posted online for people to be able to call and ask some questions. And I had heard of, you know, one of the trailer parks had 17 vehicles removed here just in the last couple days. And I know Scott Eastall was one of the people who had been transporting vehicles out. So I'm not sure if that's an option. I haven't talked to him, but there has been some movement there and covering some ground on getting some vehicles out there.
Yeah, I think Billy was taking vehicles as well. And
yeah, we did five yesterday. And then one of the things is he wants the tires to take them up if possible.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I think he's only going to do it through this week.
That's correct, yes, through Saturday.
Okay, through this Saturday.
Through this Saturday, and they'll be heading out of town then. So would definitely encourage anybody to take advantage of that because our rate is $350 per vehicle. For you to dispose of a vehicle in Juneau, it's $475. Just to put things into perspective for how much that charge is.
Okay. Sounds good. Any other questions? I just wanted to alert the assembly. I talked with our borough manager, Good, and our borough clerk about inviting to speak or give a report of our representatives, our state and federal representatives, and our two lobbyists, and even the governor. I think instead of waiting for them to come to us, I think we should be proactive and actually invite them. And I mentioned to our borough manager that we could, you know, submit our priority list and have the latest project that we have on the docket and really introduce ourselves and sort of turn into the squeaky wheel and see if we can get some of the help with some of these projects. Do you think that's a good idea?
Sure.
So, all right. And the governor was coming here 2 years ago at about the same time, and he canceled at the last hour or so, but I think we need to invite him back.
It's an election year.
Yeah, instead of them coming every election year, let's have them speak to us at regular round. Okay, we'll probably put that into action then. All right, thank you for that report. Next up, borough clerk's file.
I don't really have anything other than what's in my report. I did include some information on the two changes that are coming with the primary elections and the general elections. It does not affect the city elections in October, so I would urge you to please read through that information. I do have flyers as well that they sent to me, but it basically just talks about so when you go for the primary election, when you go to vote, you usually have to, if you're Republican, undeclared, or nonpartisan, you can choose which ballot you want. There'll only be one ballot. So that's, and if Sarah Merritt was here, she could give all the particulars on it. So that'll make it a little easier. And then there's the other one that's a little more confusing. It's choice ranking or ranked choice. It's kind of confusing, but I included all, I pulled from their website, the state's website, the information on it. They have a video on it you could actually watch, and I'm sure it will be explained, and there will be all kinds of posters, but essentially you choose who you want by rank. So you rank 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on when you go to vote in the general election. So that'll be interesting. And I put a lot of information here. I put a lot of the Q&A from the state's website that I thought might be interesting. So, but again, it does not affect our election. We're still going to be doing it just like we've always done. So.
And then closer to the elections, you'll have it, instructions on our website.
I can do that. I don't run that election, either one of
just
those
to inform
elections.
The public.
Right.
Yeah.
So on our election page, I usually start adding information on there. So I'll definitely add this information on there and the links to the videos that people can kind of watch to see, because it is confusing. It was explained to us at our last conference. And everybody was confused until they pulled up the video, and then there was a collective, okay, because it is confusing. So, but it makes sense, like I said, when you watch the video. Sometimes we need that video explanation. So, anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does any assembly member have any?
Going to Southeast Conference was very informative, made some good contacts. I think Jeff would agree with that. We talked to quite a few people about our issues, so I thought it was very, very good this time. Packed. I mean, the agenda was just that there was no room for doing anything except eating and sitting and listening. But it was very good.
Thank you. Assembly Member Dalrymple?
Madam Mayor, I went with Jeff up to the AML legislative session. And it was just interesting to me all around. Talk about political environment. But a couple things came out of that, and I would agree completely with you. I think it would be good for us to have those folks come to us instead of the other way around. And I know it's a good opportunity to hit people and stuff, but I think they haven't been doing real well with coming back out to their constituencies, any of them. So I fully would support that. The other thing, I got to meet the state lobbyist, who I had never even heard his name before. And I think in reading his contract, he owes us a report. Annual report, and it would be good to have him do that either remotely or in person, just to check in with us. So that's just my two cents in there.
I agree
with that.
Yeah.
Especially during the session, it'd be nice to hear and have them make contact with the Wrangell citizens. Okay, any other reports? All right, item 10, Mayor and Assembly appointments. We have an appointment for the United States Forest Service is looking to have one assembly member work with them as a point of contact on several projects. And some of the projects involve the Wrangell Wild Blueberry Management. And this is the Wild Cultural Foods and Food Security Grant of $100,000. And then the Wrangell Area Trail Improvements, and that amount is $103,000. So pending disapproval by the Assembly, I'd like to appoint Assembly Member Dalrymple to be our Assembly point of contact. And you'll be working with our own Carol Rushmore. She works on these projects as well. Will you accept that appointment?
I was looking for Carol, but is she in here?
She's in her office.
Oh, yeah, yes.
All right.
I wanted to see a nod from her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
Yep.
Good choice.
So you're our point person for the assembly. And did you have a suggestion?
Yeah, Madam Mayor, I also have another proposal. I've mentioned it a few times, but Ranger Coleridge came at the last work session we had, and he is doing an environmental analysis for cabin replacements. And I think it's of a lot of interest to the community. And in my mind, it's also a good economic opportunity for the community to get more and better cabins. So he asked us to, if we would be interested in serving on their team, their interdisciplinary team. And I would suggest that we would take him up on that. But we would do it as a cooperating agency. And I'd be willing to work with Clint on the letter that goes with that. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
Doesn't give us any authority in the process, and doesn't take anything away from us either as far as, you know, our views and things. But it gives the Forest Service and us a little more formal way to interact and share ideas.
Great. So. And that just requires an MOU?
Yeah.
Between
it's a
the city
memorandum
and...
of understanding with a, as a cooperating agency for that project.
Okay. So that's a good idea. So we'll have you work with our borough manager to get that set up, and okay. We can have it on our next agenda. All right. Sounds good. All right, public hearing. This is where we have four items for public hearing. First item, 11A, Ordinance 1017 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending sections 15.12.192, section 15.12.200, section 15.12.210, section 15.12.215, and section 15.12.222. This is in chapter 15.12, Electricity, and establishing a new process for rates and fees in the Wrangell Municipal Code by adding the fees to the established fee and rate schedule. And I will open the public hearing now and get an administrative report before we take public testimony.
Madam Mayor, essentially what this does is it takes it out of the ordinances for each of the different rates and puts it into a fee schedule, which makes it a lot clearer to see and understand, as well as making it, as far as any changes or anything else that have to be made, it doesn't have to go through the double hearing. It's just a single resolution instead.
Right. And some time ago, we declared that any resolution that involved rates to our citizens would go to a public hearing, mm-hmm. Even though they're passed by resolution. All right. Any public testimony on this agenda item? All right. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1017.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Morrison, second by Howe. Discussion. Any discussion on this item? All right, hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Do you want me to call upon Assemblymember Powell on this one?
Assemblymember Powell, do you have any question on item 11A?
No, I was listening.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're poll vote.
Assemblymember DeBoer?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Morrison? Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gower?
Yes. Item 11B, this is resolution number 02-22-1665 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the rate and fee schedule for the Wrangell Municipal Light and Power Department, and increasing the rate for separately metered heat and hot water to be consistent with the rate increase in ordinance number 1016. So I will open the public hearing at this time and get an administrative report.
So this rate increase was missed whenever we did the initial ordinance. And again, just because everything was separately broken out and all the different ordinances, it was just, we didn't notice it was in there. So that was caught by Light and Power and brought to our attention. And this just corrects it to add with the rest of the rate increases that we had had. And it'll also put this in our fee schedule as well so that it's all together.
All right. Any public testimony on this item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion. Close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 02221665.
Second.
Okay, motion by Howell, second by Powell. Discussion. Okay, it's just this one item that was left off.
This also brings those other three items that the assembly approved at the last meeting,
right,
in that ordinance. Or actually, in that ordinance that you just approved, those schedule A, B, C, and puts them in the fee schedule.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, DeBoer?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 11C, Ordinance 1018 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Chapter 5.14 Borough Budget by adding Section 5.14.030 Interfund Lending in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll open the public hearing and get an administrative report.
Mason, would you like to talk to this one?
Yeah, no, this basically just provides some good guidance for interfund lending, kind of hashed out in the last assembly meeting. Obviously we want this to be an infrequent occurrence in nature, but this kind of gives some general provisions to follow in the event that we are to loan general fund or governmental activity funds to an enterprise fund. So please outline those provisions.
And I'll just add, we've done this in the past without any policy in effect, so this is good to have a policy.
And just wanted to thank the investment committee for helping us work on this as well. So.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, I'll take public testimony. Any public testimony on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1018.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison.
Third.
Discussion. All right, seeing none. Poll vote, please.
Yes, assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
No.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Okay, item 11D. This is ordinance 1019 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Chapter 5.02, Investment of Borough Funds, by adding subsection E to Section 5.02.050, Investments in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I'll open the public hearing and entertain an administrative report.
Again, I want to thank the investment committee for helping us work on this, and then Mason, you kind of want to go into more detail.
Yeah, so this is kind of our tactic to be able to engage in a broader range of investments for our enterprise funds. Basically, what this ordinance does is it takes any enterprise fund with $1 million reserve balance or more at the beginning of the fiscal year and allows those up to 10% of their reserve balance to be invested in mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, or U.S. stocks, and so it gives us a broader range and a little bit of more aggressive exposure to invest our enterprise reserves, but still in a conservative manner, because 10% of the reserve balance is fairly conservative. So there's a couple other provisions, but the gist of it is the interest gained on those investments will either be reinvested or remitted to that respective enterprise fund on a prorated basis. So that's essentially what this does. It's kind of getting our feet wet with broadening the horizons. It's not abnormal to, as a municipality, invest in U.S. equities or a broader exposure in investments. It's more conventional for a permanent fund setting. We are one of probably the first municipalities in the state of Alaska to venture off outside of just the permanent fund, but it's a more common theme in low interest rate environments. So I think you'll start to see this become a theme throughout the state.
And it does stipulate in there it's low-risk investments, so it's not anything that's high-risk or moderate-risk. It's low-risk investments.
And I'm not the one, just to clarify, I'm not the one that's directly managing this. We have investment advisors, so they're going to be fully invested with that responsibility.
And you and I both know that it's very liquid. I mean, it's very,
right,
very quickly you can redeem it. So.
Right. Okay, I'll take public testimony. Anyone in the audience want to testify to this? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1019.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Discussion. Seeing none, poll vote please.
Nurse Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, under unfinished business, we have item 6A, if you want to refer back to that. That's resolution number 02-22-1664 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2022 budget in the Harbor Fund by transferring $7,780 from the Harbor Reserves to the Harbor Facility Repairs and Maintenance account and authorizing its expenditure for reimbursement to the Myers-Chuck Community Association for emergency dock repairs and repealing resolution number 05-21-1587. I need a motion.
Move to approve number resolution number 02-22-1664.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple, and an administrative report.
Yeah, so this was actually approved in resolution number 05-21-1587, and it's reimbursement back to the Harbor Reserves at Myers-Chuck. Essentially, this was paid for by them. It was authorized for payment to them. The payment was never done in fiscal year 21 dollars. So now that we're in fiscal year 22, we need a resolution to then be able to pay them because the payment was never done.
Right. Okay. Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, thanks. Ryan mentioned that we're going to agree on this anyway, which I will. I totally support this. But the reason I asked just to have it brought up again is especially because of Myers-Chuck and the idea that we had done business and we're really trying to improve our presence down there, that this particular item deserves special attention on the agenda to make sure that it gets through. Mm-hmm. In my mind, it had already, and I didn't realize it hadn't.
Right. And we had a delegation go down to Myers-Chuck and survey the dock situation. It was pretty dire, wasn't it? So, all right. Any other discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Also under unfinished business, it was former item 6B, resolution number 02-22-1666 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2022 budget in the Ports and Harbors Fund, transferring $140,381 from the Ports Fund Reserves to the Barge Ramp Flotation Tank Repairs Capital Project Account, and authorizing its expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 02-22-1666.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, I have a motion by Morrison, second by Dalrymple. Administrative report, please.
So we put this project out for bid, and the bid that we got back was double the amount that we initially had in our initial request. So this amount is what is needed to fulfill that contract award and be able to be able to get the work done for the barge ramp flotation.
Okay. And that part is still in the Marine Service Center?
Correct.
Area?
Correct.
I had a chance to look at that.
And a couple things have increased since we did the initial estimate. I mean, 30% increase in steel since we got our initial estimate. And then also just with labor prices, given the Davis-Bacon wages, I don't think those are ever calculated in the initial estimate. So that increases the amount as well.
Okay.
Prevailing wage.
Okay.
Any questions, assembly members? Assembly member Dalrymple.
I think it's just what it is. You know, that's the hard part to swallow here, but this is getting to push $250,000. Jeff, I was hoping maybe that you could give us a little broader view of not only this, how long this, these repairs, the life expectancy, but is there a something different that we could be moving towards?
I think there is. I mean,
I just see this as a continuous.
No, it is. I think, and it's something we're, I think we need to have a broader discussion on as far as what we're doing with the ramp. I mean, this is actually a small cost compared to what the replacement of the ramp is. I think the ramp replacement is $18 million. So that's and that needs replaced. It's based on the latest load tables that we had. I mean, they're right at or even exceeding what they're bringing up that ramp. So we want to have a broader discussion with AML as far as how we move forward and where we move forward. So, and whether, I mean, right now we are the only community in Alaska that actually own our own facilities. AML owns their facilities everywhere else. So I think it is a broader discussion. And to me, this is really just a stopgap to get us kind of through this summer to be able to load. Because if we do it at our current location, like where they're doing it temporarily, it's a major disruption to our Marine Center operations.
Yeah.
Because it pretty much shuts them down whenever they're having to take things on and off over there. We can no longer, it's almost impossible to take boats in and out while that work is going on over there.
Do we have, I imagine Dave could tell us too, do we have any estimate on how long it would take to do the repair work?
On availability of products. I mean, that's one of my main concerns in this whole thing right now is there's so many timelines, and you know, we're going through some stuff right now with the contractor's license, and I did obtain the surety bond today and all the stuff for contractor's license. I've been in touch with the lady in Juneau. That's been going very well, but there's no way to expedite it. We tried, and Amber's going to call her and try to, you know, chat with her or something here once we get this moving, but the timeline on that is somewhere approximately around, put on some glasses here, April 15th. So that's just the timeline on the contractor's license. So, you know, and then on top of that, materials, the paint is, right now the paint's back ordered for 4 to 5 weeks. The only thing available is the sandblasting materials and the steel right up front. So, you know, once you start getting into waiting on the contractor's license. I mean, I've looked at different opportunities of using somebody else's, and that's not really a thing that's going to work. So, I mean, it could be, you know, May before materials show up. Mm-hmm. So, timeline's critical.
Okay. Thank you. Right. Any other discussion or questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Yes.
And Vice
Mayor Gilbert? Yes. Item 13, new business, 13A. This is approval of a contract award to Dave's Welding and Repair Limited Liability Corporation in the amount of $211,220 for the barge ramp flotation tank repair project. This is on page 57.
Does this need a motion?
Yes.
I move to approve the contract award to Dave's Welding and Repair, LLC, in the amount of $211,220 for the barge ramp flotation tank repair project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Anything to add?
There is, and as Dave kind of already mentioned it, we are waiting on his contractor license, so again, he was the only bidder for this project, but he's still waiting on his contractor license to be able to start work on it, and that is about a 4 to 6 week lead time to get his contractor license, and then we still have the parts. So kind of our only option right now.
Okay. Is Assemblymember DeBoard.
I have a couple questions. So when we looked at this initially, we were looking at $100,000, so we kind of threw the idea of a new tank out the window. But correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it somewhere around $250,000 for a new tank? Did we ever get a idea?
That was just the tank delivered to Wrangell. That wasn't the welding, the sandblast, the paint. That was a bare tank that still needed to be assembled.
Okay. So, next question, I guess this is for Dave Miller. How many years...
Do you want to come up to the microphone so the
radio
can hear you?
As far as how many years is this going to last?
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough one until we actually sandblast the tank and get a little bit of idea what's going on. I would say 10 years easy.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, how long has it been under the ground?
Since 1984 was the last time they did work for that tank.
Yeah. And it's actually, for being under the water for that long, it's pretty good shape. And I've done a lot of research on salt solutions and seawater and what to put on it and all that. And I've actually found some better stuff than it's a PPG product, but it's better than the 240LT and the 302 and the 214. Anti-fouling and stuff, it's way better. It's more of a military use. It's even used in crude oil tanks and stuff like that where it's very acidic, so something like that. And actually, the prices on that are a little better than the prices on some of the other stuff I priced out. So, but, and with that being said, I think that stuff right there, that's your biggest thing is how long your coatings stay on. You know, once your coatings start to come off, then you're, I mean.
Yeah, and the zincs as well. Like
The zincs
were gone completely on this.
Completely thing. Gone, yeah. So we'll put some great big zincs on it, and that'll make a huge difference. But
so next question is, overall, what percentage of the tank do you think you're replacing?
Probably not really replacing anything. We're capping.
Okay, capping.
We're doubling, but we're going to double about a third. So, and then that's one of the other, I had a question for you guys. Did anybody do any weight specs on this for the actual flotation, the air tank inside versus the extra weight we're going to put on this? Because we're going to put a lot of pounds of steel on that. And I'm just a little nervous with the wet foam in the ends the wet foam in the ends is what's causing that thing to be non-buoyant as it is. So with adding another 10,000 pounds of iron to it, it's going to be, I'm just wondering how the buoyancy of it's going to be.
So, I think it's going to be better
than what we had. Because it was full of water. Yeah, and I feel that the ends of the tanks is the three-quarter on the ends of the tanks is overkill. I think that you could knock that down, knock some weight off, and knock some expense off of that. Those two pieces of steel alone, 10 by 10 by three-quarter were 10 grand. So, we cut that in half right there. So there are some ways to cut some corners and save some money.
Okay.
So, I presented to Steve some stuff a long time ago, which has all, changed. Like you said, 30% up on that. Everything's went up. The availability of all products throughout the world here right now is pretty tough. So, but the biggest setback is a contractor's license. I don't know if there's any way to, once I've got all that sent in, I've got documents, copies of everything, I'd be more than happy to give it to anybody that wants it. They can see my records, my state records, all that stuff. And it would sure be nice to move forward ASAP, ordering materials and stuff, just to match the timeline for him and the barge and what's going to happen in the Marine Center here pretty soon. It's going to get busy. So.
Assembly Member Powell.
Is there a reason why we can't order the stuff? We have to wait for a contractor's license to order the stuff?
There's a risk. We can, if there's a risk. So I did talk to legal about it as well. Okay. So the risk will be on us at that point. And it's whether the assembly wants to go ahead and take that risk, we can. Like if this gets approved and we want to take the risk to go ahead and have them order everything, it's our risk.
So explain to us what the risk is, though.
Well, we'll have the material, so it's probably lower risk, because if we do get the material and everything shows up, we'll already have everything. So,
well, that's why I was wondering if we're taking the risk that we can't.
The risk is for some off chance that he doesn't get his contractor's license approved. And at least we'll have the materials. It'll be in our... So then we just have to contract somebody else and actually do the work. depending on how we can work it out.
Yeah, and there obviously wasn't too much interest in it.
So
we got to do the job anyways. I can't see wait for a contract license 6 weeks, then order their stuff, wait another 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So if the assembly's good with that,
order it.
Seems smart.
Yeah, I mean, everything, blast material, paint, steel, everything should be moving literally as soon as possible. Because, I mean, our times are crazy right now. I'm actually struggling on several projects because of materials. And, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. It's just the supply is not there. So, but I pulled some strings with some companies I've been dealing with for a long time, so I can get everything. But, and as far as the risk, I ain't going anywhere. So I'm right here, right next door to the yard. So
one more question.
Yeah, yep. Assembly member DeBoard.
So from when we get the materials, when you've got everything and you're ready to go, how long do you think it'll take to assemble and fix everything?
A month.
Okay.
Yep. I figure we can do it in a month.
Thank you.
And just one more question. We did not redesign this ramp part. You're just capping it, and that's why you're worried about the buoyancy.
Yeah, I'm adding to it, adding weight to it. So, and I just didn't know what the buoyancy was, how it was acting in the water before, and also I just was worried about adding too much to it. But it's a lot more materials when you start talking 3/4 inch stuff. It's heavy.
We can work with them on trying to reduce the weight on the ends as well, see what that is, especially if it saves us some money, and then we can run some volume calculations as far as what.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only does it save you money in the materials cost, the weight materials, but as you cut down the thickness, the manpower, the man hours and stuff that it takes to, it's just way more time consuming on bigger, thicker stuff, heavier equipment. So it just goes a lot quicker and a lot smoother with just a little bit thinner. I'd cut that down to 1/2 inch or even 3/8 is what you're putting on the bottom, and then we'll double weld everything around the outsides. And we can die test it or whatever. I mean, it's, 3/4 on the ends is just, I feel like it's an overkill. So especially for a patch. Now, if we were building a tank that you're going to put under the ground for, the next 40 years, then I could see it being different.
Well, and if you put the zincs in such a position where they can be easily maintained and switched out, that'll help too.
Yeah. So. And I think that requires a diver, don't it?
So,
Assembly Member Powell?
So then I got to have a question here then. If we're talking about reducing sizes and working with Steve to do this and working with the manager to do this, then are we approving this as this, or are we approving this as up to this amount? Is this an approved contract? Because if you approve this contract, then it has to go by the contract when it's done. Is that correct?
Well, I think we can make sure it's up to that amount and not.
There's an overage amount, like 5% baked into it.
I'm not talking about that.
It's less than that.
I'm talking about if you're taking, if Dave's saying he's going to save money all the way around.
So what I would say this is that if it's to this amount, 211 is for the contract that we currently have.
Right.
If he does a value engineering report and can save us money based off of the value engineering report that he's saying he can do, then it's less than this. We should be able to go through and approve it at the lesser rate based off of the lighter weight materials that he has.
Okay.
So it'd be a change to the contract modification for a lesser amount.
Okay.
Benefiting the city.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, any other questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes.
Assembly Member David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. That's available for assembly members in the clerk's office. And item 15, executive session. This is a potential mill property acquisition update and discussion.
I move pursuant to AS 44.62.310(c)(1) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters in which the immediate knowledge would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically for an update and to discuss the possibility of acquiring the mill site property.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Morrison, second by Powell. Any discussion? All right, seeing none, we will recess at 7. Oh, that's right. Yeah, let's vote.
Okay. Assembly members Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. And we will recess at 6:50 p.m. into executive session.
Do you request anybody else to be there for the
executive session? We don't have to put you in the motion, I found out, but we request that the borough manager attend.
And can we get the finance director and our... And Carol Rushmore.
Okay, finance director and Carol Rushmore.
Okay.